Welcome back, everybody, to day 9 of the podcast. You've got over that 3-day hump and you are heading into the tail end of our 12 days of prayer and fasting, where we are pressing into experiencing more of the presence of God in our everyday lives as a whole church. Whether you find yourself in Perth, Australia, Bangkok, Thailand, San Francisco, or Melbourne, whether you're a student at university or a parent homeschooling children, or maybe you're a project team leader in the banking sector, no matter who you are or what you're doing, we are all looking at pressing in and answering the question, and how am I growing in awareness of His presence? And on the podcast each day, we are chatting with different people in our community to hear their testimony of their lives as to how they have grown in awareness of the presence of God. And today we have someone joining us from our DTN Mission Partners, which is going to be quite a treat. We have Maylin. Welcome, Maylin.
Hi, so great to be here.
So yourself and your husband, Steve, have been part of our DTN, which is Disciple of Nations, is our mission arm of our church, for a little while now. How long?
Probably over 6 years, yeah. I'd say. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. So maybe you can tell our listeners a little bit about what you and Steve do.
So Steve and I train mostly young leaders mm-hmm. to plant contemporary churches in Europe. And we left Australia, went to live in the UK about 12 years ago so that we could access Central Europe easily and connect with major denominations there that are interested in church planting.
So good.
And create development and training for that to happen. And so we work with denominational leaders and also young church planters, and we bring Australians in from different places to help with that, to have input, to encourage, to speak into the world in Europe. So we've been doing that for over 12 years now.
Wow. Yeah. And the Lord is really doing something special in Europe from what I hear from my friends that are some in Germany, some in Czech Republic, some in Italy, and some in the UK. We are really seeing God move in a special way in this season, especially amongst like the Gen Z generation.
Mm. It's a really exciting mission field at the moment. Mm. There's a real hunger there. And as you said, particularly among young adults, they're just excited to see God do something new and fresh in their nations, and they're courageous and full of energy. And God is really doing something that we've never seen before, certainly this last 5 to 6 years.
Yeah.
Germany is just taking off. The Czech Republic is taking off. Poland is taking off with new churches full of young adults.
Come on.
So it's wonderful. Yeah, it's a great season to be working in Europe.
Go
for
Jesus.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, we will be praying for Europe and praying for God's hand and what He's doing. And we are watching and, holding those countries and that continent in prayer for sure.
Yeah, thank you. We really appreciate NUMA and the support, the care, the love, and just coming also to Europe has just been fantastic. Yeah.
Come on. We need more mission trips to Europe. Hallelujah.
Yeah, come on.
Okay, so we're going to dive into some questions because we're going to look at, I guess, life as a missionary, but also life on mission, because no matter where we are, even in Melbourne, Australia, I think of my life as a life on mission. We don't need to be in Uganda or India or somewhere like that to live a life on mission for God. But I'm glad that you're here to bring a missionary perspective to us. So we're going to start at the start, and we've been asking different people to share a little bit of their testimony of when they personally became aware of the manifest presence of God.
Yeah, look, I love that question because it makes me look back and remember what God has done and where He first met me. And I was quite young. I grew up in a non-Christian home, had never been to church at all.
Come on.
And I found myself going to at school here in Australia. I'd come out from England and my parents were divorced, and my mum came out to Australia, and I found myself at school in religious instruction, and I didn't know which one to go to, but I went to this one, and the lady there, you know, I knew nothing about God. I'd never prayed in my life, had no idea.
Wow.
You know, my dad was miles and miles away in England, and my mum, a single mother, and she asked me about my father, and I said, well, I don't see him. He's in England. And she said, well, that's okay, because God can be your heavenly father.
Wow.
And I remember this moment and this conversation with her. I was 8 years old.
Wow.
And you know, you're at school, you get a lot of information yes. coming your way, but there was something about what she said to me. She said, "Maylin, if you just pray to your Heavenly Father every day, He will look after you and He will be your Father." And those words, it wasn't just like information, it was like it went into my heart. And I'm
come
like,
on, wow.
Wow. And so from that moment on, for the rest of my life until I got saved, I prayed every single night that God would be my Heavenly Father. And I can tell you story after story of the protection over my life and I used to wonder why I didn't get into so much trouble. You know,
yes.
my mum was a single mum. She
yes.
was hardly ever
wow.
home. I went to the roughest schools, lived uh-huh. in the roughest areas. My uh-huh. friends were into all sorts of things.
Wow.
It's like this voice in my head saying, "That's not for you." And this protection constantly. And I really believe that's because that woman, it was like the presence of God. Like, I knew nothing about it,
yeah.
but the way she said it, something about those words, they went in to my heart. I thought that's the truth, and I believed it and acted on it, and it rescued me as a teenager from all sorts of things.
Wow,
the hand of God, amazing. So, and obviously I can still see that woman's face.
Yeah.
Mrs. Shepperton.
Yes. That's so good. We've been talking on the podcast actually about a few people brought up different moments. I was sharing just a similar story that there was like mothers at my school who you just were so attracted to, and you know what they said just really went into your heart and you wanted to be around them. And later on, looking back, talking to some of my childhood friends, found out, yeah, these women were like on fire for the Lord, that they love Jesus.
Yeah.
And what as a child you maybe don't realize consciously of like, oh yes, this is a process of God, but looking back you're like, oh yeah, this was the Lord, like and I love that, even how you're saying when she spoke truth, like when she spoke the word of God, that the presence of God was on those words to be delivered, not into your head, but actually into your heart.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing, because I knew nothing. It wasn't
yeah.
head knowledge for me at all. So, you know, and looking back, why would I believe that? Why would I pray
yeah.
every single night? You
yeah.
know, that's, you know.
Yes.
So that's looking back, I think that was the presence of God invading
yep.
my world
Come
unexpectedly
on.
Without me asking.
Come on.
Yeah.
He is chasing us down.
That's
He's
right.
looking for
That's
his lost
right.
sheep. He's reckless in the way he loves us.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So beautiful. So fast forward a little bit from 8 years old.
Bit older now.
What does it look like, I guess, on the mission field, or what does it look like as a missionary in the context of your life over the last, I don't know, even like decade, to become more aware of the presence of God? I mean, yourself and Steve have traveled to and had been traveling to many different countries, serving many different people in the body of Christ, raising up leaders, like you were saying before. What has it been like to, I guess, become aware of the presence of God on the mission field?
That's such a great question, because, you know, for, you know, 20 years we were in Melbourne leading a great church and doing a lot of great ministry and absolutely loving it. And, you know, when we made the decision to go overseas as missionaries, I had no idea what that would cost me.
Yeah,
and
wow.
to be honest, I think if I knew, I wouldn't have gone. So
yeah. So true. How many
so
times
I can't
that
say
that
I was a hero. If I knew, and you know,
yep.
I would simply have not gone. But that experience of laying everything down and finding yourself in a situation where all of your security has been taken from you, your friends, your family, everything, you know, people who
yep.
know you, you know the song Oceans, where it talks about, you know, and I always used to wonder whether I should sing that line, you know, take me deeper than
yep.
my feet would ever wander.
Yeah, yeah.
And my faith would be made stronger in the presence.
Yep.
of my Saviour.
Yep.
Well, I understood what that song meant once I left my security behind and found myself on the mission field. And you just are so empty and so lost, and you feel like you have no control, nobody knows you, you don't know where to go, what to do, nobody smiles at you, you've lost everything that
wow.
you know is meaningful to you personally, and you need God like never before. And that's when that awareness of his presence really kicks in like I have never experienced. And one of the first thoughts for me after being on the mission field for the first couple of years, because that's when it's probably the most difficult, was just I didn't give enough time and care to the missionaries when I was a pastor because I did not understand what it was like to feel like that, that just that sense of safety and security lifted in every area of your life. And so it becomes a necessity. It's like, God, I need you. I desperately need you. I need to hear your voice all the time. I need to know your presence. I need your strength. I need your love. There's nobody else to give me that stuff right now.
Complete dependence.
It's complete dependence. And it's that's when, you know, his voice becomes louder. You're just listening all the time. Yes. It's so from that personal perspective of finding our feet, that was the best experience of my Christian life.
Wow.
Really, to think to become so much more familiar with him, his voice. And it was really only because I needed him so much. And in our world, we are often not in that place of genuine need.
It's so true, Maylin.
Yeah.
We have a lot, especially, talking about the Western church for a moment, because if you're talking about the church in China or places like that, like the conversations are so different in terms of like discipleship, because there it's like prayer's not an option. Like you are praying. That is a lifeline for you. It's not like, oh, we need to talk about why we need to pray. It's like if you are saved into the underground Chinese church, that's a whole other, like the conversations that we have don't even exist in that environment. So it is it's a conversation very much for the Western church, but we have a lot of comfort and a lot of convenience, and we're not, you know, persecuted. And there's a whole bunch of things that I think it's good to have an awareness of how that outplays with our dependence on God. Mm. I don't think we need to feel guilty about it or things like that. I'm grateful for those things, but a real awareness of that there is a real interplay into our hunger for the presence of God and for a reliance on him, like you were saying. So when we have moments in our life where some of those things get taken away, and you were talking about, you know, friends and the comfort of knowing how to, I've moved countries before, so I know what it's like to arrive somewhere and be like, I don't even know, like, how does the bank work here? Like, you know, how does the post office work here? Like, how do you buy a train ticket? Like, is there tickets? Do you need a card? Like, just every area is now unfamiliar. I think that does throw us into the arms of God in a very unique way. And maybe even for people who, you know, aren't missionaries but are in a season where it's not familiar, where things are uncomfortable, where things are unfamiliar, or maybe they've had, you know, close friends move away, or there's a lack in some area of our lives. I think in those times, we have a unique opportunity, like you said, to experience God in moments of, let's for a better word say, some kind of suffering that we wouldn't in when our life is convenient and comfortable.
Yeah. I think, you know, we can tend to want to avoid those situations or get mad during those situations or wonder, you know, God, why are you letting this situation happen to me? But actually they are the most precious times and it is when we tend to run to God and he is always there, and they're the times I find when I grow the most and I learn the most about God. And so as awful and annoying and uncomfortable as it can be, there can be a sense of, I'm just going to embrace this.
Yeah.
I'm just, it's okay. Yeah. Stuff doesn't always go well. Yeah. And I'm just going to, you know, focus on the presence of God. I'm going to get closer to God through this and learn and grow. So, they're great moments for just ushering in the presence of God.
Yeah, totally. Crazy, right? I had a friend who even just had a baby recently and was a mum for the first time, and that can turn your world upside down. Like everything changes in that moment, and was feeling like quite disoriented with like, oh my God, like nothing in my world is the same. And that moment she realized like, okay, I really need to lean into God like in a whole other way. So I think that dependency can come in so many ways, shapes and forms. So we love to be kind of equipping and to help people in very practical ways as well. So what, maybe you can share with us some, practical things that you did in that time or as well, like on the mission field, whatever it looks like, to actually practically become more aware of the presence of God in those moments that you're talking about?
I think the big step for me was to realize I actually don't, like, I was quite experienced, you know, in following God, but I actually don't know what to do, and I don't have all the answers, and I do need to stop and get something fresh from God in every situation. So, you know, as you go on as a Christian, you live life and you think you've got it you know, quite sorted. I read my Bible today, I prayed today, I did my worship thing, I'm nice to everybody, all that.
Yes.
But one of the things was in my own mindset that just to humble myself a little bit and realize, actually, Maylene, you don't have the answers. You don't know, and you do need to stop and ask and seek. And that became more of a habit for me and for us. It's like, okay, we think maybe we could do this. Maybe this is the answer.
Yeah, yeah.
But let's actually stop and acknowledge the voice and the presence of God in our world, that in this situation, he knows exactly what's best, and let's wait and ask him and see what he thinks should be done. That was like radical for us, even in planting a church. I was like, yeah, I think I know how to do this because this is what I teach people to do.
That's but, so good.
But just felt, God, well, just stop and let me speak. And listen to what I'm saying in this situation, in these circumstances, with the people that you've got in this season. This is what I want you to do. So that was needed to become a habit to do that with everything, not just, I mean, it was a big thing, you know, that we were doing to plant a church. And with big things, we can tend to do that a little bit more.
Yes.
But with everything, it's like, I just want to cultivate that humility where, okay, God, my mind says I think I know what to do, but maybe I don't.
Yep.
Every situation is different. Every person is different. Every season is different. So I'm going to build into my world time where I listen to him. And that's not always easy. And, you know, we're not all perfect at that, but certainly that being a huge value.
That's so good.
So making time for him, that space for him. And yes, cultivating, well, how do I listen to God? How do I hear the voice of God? Because I find when I sit there trying to hear, I hear nothing.
Right? Yeah, yeah. I think people can relate.
You try and make it happen, right?
Yes.
And, you know, one of the things when my son was young that we were taught, if you want to speak to a child, don't, you know, focus in on them and get all intense about it. Speak to them while they're doing something practical that isn't taking too much time in their head. So if they're like building Lego or doing something that's easy for them, if you try and have a conversation with them, then they will actually be listening and will respond better because they're not. It's not so intense.
Yeah. Wow.
And I thought, that's what it's like with God as well. So if I'm not just trying so hard and focusing so hard, you know, speak, but if I'm maybe reading, maybe if I am doing, maybe washing the dishes actually.
Yes.
Cleaning.
Yep.
Crocheting.
Yes.
Stuff like that where your mind is kind of free, not too focused on something difficult. And that's when I find, you know, that still small voice would just drop in there. Sometimes, for some people it's when you're driving, but just
walking, walking the dog.
So building that into my daily life, that space where this is my walk, I'm going to do some craft or I'm going to do something and, I'm going to read the word, but I'm going to make myself as open and available as possible.
I love
to let
that.
His voice drop in.
I often do something on Sabbath, which is a bit like that. I put a worship music on and then I do like a puzzle.
Yeah.
And so it's like something keeps my hands busy, but I'm not too like my mind's not trying to work something out or problem solve or, you know, engage in some other ways, but just have worship music on and do this puzzle. And it just seems to be in that space. You can just, whether it's hear something from him or whether it's to share your heart with him or whether it's just to, I guess, experience and commune with him. So sometimes it just feels like a big hug in my heart. And sometimes it feels like, you know, just peace where maybe there's been a bit of turmoil.
Yeah.
Sometimes he doesn't even say anything. It's just communing together and being with him. That is the thing.
But it's the availability, isn't it?
It's like,
if you need to speak.
Yes.
I'm actually available. I'm making myself available for that and open to that and hungry for that.
Yeah. That's it. And I mean, even as we're praying and fasting, I guess that's part of what we're saying with our bodies, like, God, we're hungry for you. You know, that's the prayer of our bodies as we hunger and as our tummy grumbles or whatever the case may be. Is like, Lord, that's a prayer that says, I'm hungry for you. My body is praying, saying, I'm hungry for the more and I'm available. Like, this time of prayer and fasting that we set aside corporately as a church is part of that, as of just the availability to God for whatever it is that he has on his heart.
Yeah, it's
good.
It's beautiful.
Very good. All right. So we are, I guess, in a season where we are praying and fasting. And so maybe from your life, Maylene, you can share a testimony or an experience of where through the practice of prayer and fasting, you've experienced the presence of God in new ways.
So ministry and all that we do, that the just regularly praying and speaking to God, the discipline, all the spiritual disciplines, fasting and all that, being a regular part of our world is constant. Mm-hmm. And like I said, without that, it's difficult to know exactly what he's saying and to be following, you know, a voice. Like, I'm actually following, so I need to hear.
Yeah, so good.
So those disciplines are absolutely crucial, and they've helped it in all sorts of different ways.
Yeah.
And would not live this walk with him without those things. And I remember, walking with a friend of mine who would call himself an evangelist, and he just loved going on the streets and sharing his faith with people. And so I thought, let's go and see, what he does, how he does this. This will be cool. And we would pray constantly for lost people by name. So our prayer lists.
Awesome.
Weren't really about ourselves as a church. They were actually about the people that we were reaching.
So
and by name, we would name them one by one.
So good.
And we would be praying for opportunities, divine opportunities every day to share the wonders of God with people. And so, this is the season that we were in, and we were just sitting in a cafe, and I could see, he was just looking at people, and he said, I'm gonna chat to some people. And so, he got up, and just this woman who ordered her coffee and was ready to walk out, and he just stopped her and started talking to her. Mm. And she was not that interested, right?
Yep.
As you wouldn't be, right?
No. I'm like, who's a stranger? Yeah.
And I was just sitting there watching this thinking, okay, Holy Spirit, what's going to happen? This is pretty courageous on his part. We're not normally that bold. And he was just talking, and it wasn't so much about what he was saying. He was just talking to her, talking about God. And at first she was quite cold and quite disinterested.
Yeah.
And I was just watching intently and just praying, And then he said something. I can't even remember what he said, something about his words.
Mm.
And I just – I literally saw her whole countenance change. It was like the presence of God just touched her whole body, and her face completely changed. And I was just watching, and honestly, I think shivers went down my spine because I was watching this. And she said, "No, you're right. Actually, I am interested in what God has to say to me." And seriously, I nearly fell off my seat because that doesn't happen. That's not normal. That's when you have a conversation with someone. And she was so kind of cold and resistant to begin with. And I remember just thinking,
just that praying, that him, his availability, his I'm believing for this, and I'm going to share the wonders of God with this woman, even though you know, she's really not interested.
Yeah.
And seeing that that manifest presence of God in somebody's life like that, I just thought, wow.
Yep.
You are present. You do move. You do want to speak to people even when they're resistant. And when you speak, when we pray into that, when we believe for that, or when we make ourselves available for that, miracles happen.
Yeah, so true.
And for me, that's the greatest miracle, when a stubborn mind who doesn't know God at all changes, like responds, sees God for the first time.
Yes.
For me, that's the greatest miracle of miracles, because, you know, to change a human mind, it's a very difficult thing.
Very true. I know we've had testimonies in the life of our church of people who have prayed and fasted for loved ones during corporate times of prayer and fasting, and have seen significant heart shifts in ones that they love. There's people in my life who, every year we do prayer and fasting. I just present them before the Lord as part of, you know, Lord, you know my heart and I know your heart for them, and you know my heart, and I just present them to you. Some testimonies have been incredible moments of just radical turnaround, and some moments have been incredible just to watch God move a heart 2 degrees by 2 degrees by 2 degrees towards him. Yeah. And people that would normally have, you know, well, why are you doing this and why are that, and being quite aggressive towards the gospel, and quite offended by it, I think, just have their just start to now ask questions. Yeah. Oh, okay, well, why this? Well, why does God heal one person and not the other? And I'm like, oh, now we're asking questions, where before there wasn't even a question. So, we know that when we hunger for him, when we are praying and when we're fasting, and as you said, all the spiritual practices of those, whether it's daily devotional time with him, whether it's reading of scripture, that we draw near to him and he draws near to us, and not just us who know him, but also the ones that don't know him. And I just want to encourage anyone who's praying and fasting and really has on their heart loved ones, friends, family that don't know him, to just continue. I just want to encourage you to continue to lift them up to the Lord. We have to embrace the mystery. The mystery of God, because it's not a transactional relationship that we're in with the Lord. So, but we do know that he loves them, and we do know that, I mean, he's more invested in their life than we are. He loves them more than we do. So, an encouragement to anyone who is praying and fasting specifically in that area to keep going. So good. Any other practical tips, I guess, that you have for us? Like we're kind of saying before, I mean, it can be, I sometimes think, look at missionaries in a certain way, but in my heart, I guess I feel like if you're a disciple of Jesus, that we are on mission for God. So whether you're in Melbourne, Australia, Uganda, India, wherever it may be, we all live a life on mission for God. So maybe you can share with us a little bit, I guess, living a life on mission, thinking about our lives as lives that are on mission for God. What are some ways that we can actively, I guess, discern where the presence of God is even working? I mean, for yourselves, like when you're arriving in Germany again, or back in the Czech Republic, or back in Poland, being like, okay, God, discerning where what his presence is doing, or where the manifest presence of God is active. It's on this generation. It's in this city, particularly for this moment. But we can apply those kind of things, I guess, to our lives as well, of like, okay, God, in our apartment building, like where's your manifest presence at work right now? Or in your workplace, which cubicle, which office, you know, where are you, what are you doing? Maybe you can help us have like some practical ways to engage with the Lord in that space.
I think it is, as you say, seeing yourself as being on mission. So that's your mindset, and it is what the Bible says for all of us. We're aliens to this world. This is not our home. Yes. We don't belong here.
Yes.
And so it is just that mindset of, okay, I'm going to not be attached to this place, and see myself as, you know, on mission, Mission Impossible, or whatever, that kind of superhero
kind of approach where I'm here to rescue the world, and that can be fun to think of yourself like that, but it is who we are. We're here to rescue people and introduce God to people. And so that's, you know, maybe a little reminder every morning. I'm on mission. I'm here yep. to rescue people.
Yes, yes.
I'm a superhero. However it works for you.
Yep.
That you set yourself aside and think this is what my life is about. This is what my day is yeah. about. And that's the most important thing that we do. And so it's having that mindset, and then it's just that knowing how much God loves those people and how he will use whatever vessel is available to reach people. So he used a donkey to speak. So sometimes we lack confidence, right?
Yes.
Why would God use me? I haven't got anything to say.
Yes.
And it's true, you possibly yeah. don't have anything to say,
yep.
but that's okay
yep.
because God will give you something yeah. to say. If you're just available, it is
yep.
that just the availability.
I love
like,
that.
I'm here, there are people in my
yep.
world. Help me see the need.
Yeah.
It's where the need
yeah.
is that God wants to be. It's
that's really
it's,
good.
It's in the need that the manifest presence of God expresses himself.
Yep.
So
yes.
So you just
you sometimes
ask looking for the need.
Yeah, that's really good. Because I think sometimes we ask those questions like, why do we see big miracles or, you know, crazy things like I'm talking like raise the dead,
mm-hmm.
people getting up out of wheelchairs and walking, and often it's in places where there is great need. Great
yeah.
need. And I think the humility that you touched on as well before, Maylene, is really key, that we come in humble to God, that we come in lowly, that we don't presume anything, even if we have been following Christ for numbers of years, but we just come in lowly, Lord, like teach me afresh your ways, show me afresh where you're moving, to get beyond what we think we know, which I think sometimes when you, the more you follow the Lord, there's a danger of stepping into some of that familiarity. And the invitation, I think, to just come in childlike again,
mm-hmm.
In humility and childlikeness. Yeah, you really see the awe and the wonder of God at work, and then consecrating whatever area of your life it is. Like if it is your workplace, consecrate that and be like, okay, God, where is there a need? Maybe it's a colleague that is going through a particularly difficult part of their marriage, and you're just to bring the peace of God. Like we are the carriers of the presence of God, right? Like when the Holy Spirit came to inhabit inside of us, we now become the vehicle,
yeah,
the vessel for the manifest presence of God. So like you were saying, even if you don't know what to say, sometimes just sitting with someone and listening.
Exactly, yeah.
And having the peace that is in you, who is the Prince of Peace, manifest through just being with this person and listening to them, is maybe what is needed in that place or in that space. We sometimes think, I think it has to look like something, you know, radical, but if that person is experiencing chaos or anxiety and you're able to come and you're able to, you know, be the comfort and be the counsel and be the peace. I mean, that is who the Holy Spirit is the comforter, the counselor, Jesus, the Prince of Peace. So I think we can carry the presence of God into places and spaces more than we realize when we make ourselves available, like you were saying, when we come with humility,
yeah.
like we don't know what to say, but you do, God, or maybe it isn't even important what I say.
Yeah.
And when we look for need.
Yeah. I think it's just taking the time to get to know people, and
yeah.
that way you know their need as you
yep.
just have coffee with somebody, yes. and you've got no agenda.
Yes.
I just want to know you. I'm interested in who you are, and
yeah.
I love
people aren't projects.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's like
they're his sons and daughters.
If I don't know you,
yep.
if I don't understand your world,
yep.
I can't speak your language. I don't yep. know. And so again, just we really don't know.
Yeah. It's the humility of
yeah.
not assuming. Yeah.
It is. I love, look, on the day of Pentecost and you know, the presence of God fell like, you know, for the first time.
Mm.
And I love the outworking of that in that they spoke the wonders of God in the heart language to all the different people, different languages
yep.
to different people.
Yep.
And, you know, the Holy Spirit gives us that ability to listen and know and understand, and I think speak the heart language. And so it's taking that time and let me understand you. Let me, you know, love you. Let
yeah.
me actually care about your world.
Yeah.
And then, you know, in time that the Holy Spirit speaks out and you say something and you think, I have no idea what was that?
Yep.
And it just touches them, or it's exactly what they needed to hear for that day. And
beautiful.
So for me, that's living life on mission. Yep. Just, you know, being just looking for the need in people, caring for them, showing some interest in them and having time.
Yep.
Giving them your time.
Yep.
Is, I think it's the most beautiful thing that we can do. It's what Jesus did with people. He just gave them time.
Yeah.
One-on-one.
Especially in a very time-poor world.
Exactly. It's like, it shows not too
value.
Busy.
Yeah.
To give you time, because you're actually why I exist here on planet Earth. And you're who God really cares about. That kind of, it's in our thinking, and just reminding ourselves of that. And you know, we all need to do that on a regular basis. Just remember who you are. You're somebody's superhero today. So who knows? And it can just be a smile.
Yep. It's so true.
It can be so simple.
It's so true. Yeah. And to know that you carry the manifest presence of God, and then we can actually look and discern with the Holy Spirit where God is at work already in someone. And boom.
Beautiful.
Boom, the gospel happens.
That's it.
Maylene, thank you so much for being with us. Would you pray for us before we wrap up?
Sure, I'd love to.
Thank you.
Lord, I thank you so much for Pneuma Church. I thank you for the leadership. I thank you for the people who have been coming to this church for many years. And I thank you for the new people that have just found you. And I just pray that your presence and your strength and your wisdom and everything about you will be the most significant and important thing in the lives of the church, the people who make up Pneuma. I pray, Lord, for this season that they are in as they set themselves aside to hear from you and to draw nearer to you. I pray that they will meet you in ways that they have never met you before, that there will be wisdom in hearts and minds that they've never seen before. I pray for breakthroughs that haven't yet happened in people's lives and in the community around here in our city in Melbourne. I pray that you will use this incredible group of people to do amazing and supernatural things to change lives and bring people back to you. So I thank you for them. I pray your richest blessing upon them, your protection upon them as their future unfolds in all that they do, in the amazing ministries that they do. Breathe on them, Lord. Let there be an incredible supernatural presence of God in everything that they do, in a manner that the world around them is changed, I pray. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you. Grazie. Danke. Gracias. Merci beaucoup. All the things. It was such a joy to have you. Thank you so much.
Here.
And thank you all for listening today. And if you want to have a little idea or a practical way about how to engage with the manifest presence of God, we have a prayer and fasting toolkit that is here to help us learn new ways, because we always want to be growing in different ways. Maybe one of the prayer practices you did yesterday or the day before was like, oh, it was okay, but I struggled to engage. Try another one. Can I encourage you? Try another one today. So you can grab the prayer and fasting toolkit from our show notes, from Instagram, from the Church Center app, or from our website, from all the places. And we also want to hear your testimony. I've already heard of a couple of testimonies that have been so beautiful and so just encouraging. So we want to hear more of your testimonies about how the Lord is moving, how you are experiencing more of his presence in your life, maybe even your children's lives, in your workplace, in your business, in your university, in all the places that we as people of God are. So please send them through, DM us on Instagram, or share these with us via our website, pneuma.church/pray. All right, guys, I will see you tomorrow for the next podcast. Peace out.